in the name of Jesus. I need to ask the elders who are here to keep a watch, a special watch over my words today. If I commit heresy by referring to the Holy Spirit as it, let me know. Tell me how many times I do that after the service, and I'll buy a pizza for each time I refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. Okay, starting now. The Holy Spirit, of course, is not an it. The Holy Spirit is properly referred to with the pronouns he, him, his. The Holy Spirit, after all, is one of the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You don't refer to a person as an it. You probably don't even refer to your dog and cat as an it, because they have personality. They have an important place in your home, in your life. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and his chief delight is in bringing poor, miserable sinners to faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs our attention to Christ, the crucified one. The Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us, who opens our eyes, our ears, our hearts to see and to hear and to believe the gospel of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is one who opens our mouth, who anoints our tongues to sing forth the praises of the God, the triune God, who has had mercy on the whole world in Christ Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Again, Luther's Catechism puts it very well. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me, keeps me in the true faith with the whole Christian church on earth. You know, he doesn't do it just for me, just for you. The Holy Spirit does it for Christians everywhere. Christians who have lived before us and gone on to be with the Lord. Christians who will follow us, become followers of Jesus, and confess his saving name. Now, if I were to ask you to look over today's reading from Acts chapter 2 and pick out the most important verse, what would it be? Would it be that, well, first, I mean, they're all important, but would it be the sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the whole house where the disciples, the believers, were sitting? Would it be verse 3 that speaks of the divided tongues as a fire that appeared to them and rested on each one of them? Would it be verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? Or would it be that some of the people who heard the disciples speaking in other languages thought that they were drunk? None of that. The most important part of today's reading from Acts is Peter's sermon, which he begins, and in the continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 2, you hear the rest of his sermon. I would, if you're interested, and I hope you are, when you get home, Take your Bible and read the entirety of Acts chapter 2 to get the rest of the story. But what is really important here in today's lesson from Acts is that Peter proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter, the one who was scared of a little girl who identified him as a Galilean, the one who denied his Lord with an oath 3 times, swearing, "I do not know the man," the one whom Jesus at one time referred to as Satan, because Peter was trying to tell Jesus that he was wrong about the way of the cross, about being crucified, about dying in Jerusalem. Yes, this is the Simon Peter we are talking about. Peter, through the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon him, was enabled to boldly, courageously preach the good news that God loves the world, that in a world of darkness, God has sent His Son to be light, that in a world of much confusion regarding God, the one true God has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And finally, as today's reading from Acts concludes, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what prayer is. That's what we do in our liturgy. We call upon the name of the Lord, trusting that He is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness, a God whose love for us goes far beyond our multiplied love for Him. His love is so great that He gave His Son over to the death of a cross for you, that you might be reconciled to God, that you might enjoy His presence forever. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to what Paul writes in chapter 10 of his epistle to the Romans. "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we, the apostles, proclaim. "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, declared righteous before God, made right with God. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame." The Him here, of course, is Jesus Christ. And we will not be ashamed when we appear before God at the end of our lives, at the final judgment. Adam and Eve were ashamed after they ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves, but God let them know those fig leaves were inadequate for the job. So He took the skins of an animal that had to die, and clothed them properly. You have been clothed, made clean by Jesus Christ. Your robes have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And that being the case, you will not feel ashamed when you appear before God. You will not be shamed. He will welcome you. He will lovingly receive you because you have been purchased at a price, the price of the blood of His own dear Son. Paul continues, "There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Again, everyone. When Paul says there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, he says there is no he's meaning there is no distinction between Jew and non-Jew, Jew and Gentile. The gospel is not just for Jews. The gospel is for everybody. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the entire planet, bearing it in His own holy body on the cross. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Paul writes, just as Peter quoted in the book, in his first sermon in the book of Acts. But Paul goes on to say, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" How is a person going to come to faith and call upon the name of the Lord? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as the apostles were? And then Paul says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The word about Christ, about His saving acts of redemption for the entire world. Faith comes from hearing that, and hearing that message, being baptized in the name of the triune God, baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, you can say Jesus is Lord because of the Holy Spirit who was placed upon you in baptism. Paul says elsewhere, in 1 Corinthians, "No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." It was the Holy Spirit who enabled Peter and the disciples to proclaim the word about Jesus, about His death and resurrection that had occurred 50 some days before in Jerusalem. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled Peter to explain the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God. It was by the Holy Spirit that Stephen preached Jesus, that men and women in Jerusalem and throughout the Mediterranean world gave witness to Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Redeemer, the way, the truth, and the life, the one through whom sinners come to the Father and are found acceptable to Him. It is the Holy Spirit who enables pastors today, church workers today, Sunday school teachers today, all Christians today, to speak confidently of Jesus, the Savior, the Lamb of God, the merciful one, the crucified one, the resurrected one, who pours out His gifts upon the church, and the Spirit distributes those gifts for the well-being of the church, according to the word of God. The Holy Spirit has called you here today. The Holy Spirit gathers you whenever you come to this place to hear the good news that your sins are forgiven, that God loves you, that you are reconciled to God every time you come. If I don't preach Jesus to you, then I've failed in my calling. It wouldn't be the Holy Spirit who failed. It would be me, because again, the Holy Spirit wants to keep Jesus front and center in the believer's gaze, in the believer's eyes of faith. Look at the crosses we have here. Those aren't here by accident. They're here to remind us, the baptized, why and into whom we were baptized. They're here to remind us of the forgiveness of sins that is ours, of the promise of life eternal, because in the Creed we just spoke of the Spirit as the Lord and giver of life. And so He has given you new life through the gospel of Jesus Christ, a life that endures, a life not of this world, although you live out your life of faith in this world. This world is temporal. It will pass away. The faith you have in Jesus will never pass away. Jesus' forgiveness will never pass away. You need never despair that your sins are too great or too many for Jesus to forgive. No, not at all. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you abundantly, and with Him has come to you and continues to come to you the grace and mercy, forgiveness and salvation of God that you can't out-sin. Not that you want to try to, but you can't out-sin. Jesus came for sinners, and the Holy Spirit is present in the church to see that that message of good news goes forth to everybody. How many pizzas do I need to buy the elders?
I was hoping for a pizza, but I got
here. Okay, I may buy a pizza next time anyway. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.